You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good morning. I'm Rich Muller from Centerville, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
And I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April the 25th, episode 3418. Good morning, horse world.
Now, from the Man Cave at the Horse Radio Network, the monthly Horse Husbands episode. This one is for you guys. No horse women allowed.
That's right. It is my favorite time of month, that time of the month when I don't have to put up with Jamie. And we get to talk to all guys. It happens once a month, and I'm so excited about it. And you guys all know the rule. No women allowed. That means you're not even allowed to listen. Don't tell me if you do. Rich is here. And Rich, thanks for doing this again this month. You know, we have a couple of fun guests planned for you today. One of our auditors by the name of Taylor, her fiance is joining us. His name is John Lambert, and I don't know much about him, actually. It's going to be an adventure for us all, but I do know they're getting married on June the 1st, so we still have time to talk him out of it. We have a month and a half to talk him out of it. Although it sounds like the wedding plans are in full force, and we probably not have a shot because he's committed now. I think he's already paid for stuff. You know, once you start paying for the wedding, Rich, you're committed.
Definitely committed, especially on June 1st. That's right around the corner. Actually, Mogan and I are going to a wedding on June 1st in California.
You know, so. It sounds like June 1st would be the day that most people are being married is on June the 1st. Sounds like the most popular wedding day would – let me look that up. I will look that up. So anyway, we're going to be talking to John, and then you have a guest too.
Yes, I have a guest, Adam Lee. He's married to Sue Bauer Lee. He was not a horse husband. He grew up in Georgia, in a small coastal town formerly known as Savannah, Georgia. Well, it's still known as Savannah, Georgia. yeah, but it was formerly a small coastal town. Not so much anymore. But he grew up as a city kid, had no idea about what he was getting into when he met his wife.
Gotcha. Well, I did find out that the most popular wedding day is actually in September. It's not June. I thought it would have been September. Anyway, there you go. What do I know? Yeah. I only got married once, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Mogi and our wedding anniversary is June 12th.
June 12th? So, how long have you been married?
June 12th. Now you're hitting a hard one.
Yeah, I know. She's going to be mad you don't know this.
I think it's 31 years now.
You and us are about the same.
Yes, 31 years, 1993.
Yeah, we were married in 88, so we're a few more years than you guys.
Yep.
You know, we got talking on the show earlier in the week, and the post-show, we got talking about class reunions from high school. And I asked in the auditor room, and like only some very small percentage have ever gone to a class reunion. Have you ever gone?
I've never gone to a class reunion. Actually, I didn't graduate.
Oh, well, then you wouldn't go to class reunion, would you?
Yeah, no. Well, I took my GED, so technically I did.
Oh, yeah, you did graduate. Yeah,
I did graduate.
But, I was going to say, well, it didn't hold you back.
No, didn't hold me back. So, and then I actually went back to school and got a bachelor's in computer science in 2000, the wrong year to get that
because
when the whole dot-com thing fell apart. So I was in a sea of people, unemployed people.
Oh, geez. So. That was a whole millennial thing, too. The whole, you know, the world's going to end.
Yep. Wow. So,
well, when does your wife come home from Aiken? It's got to be soon.
Yeah, it's another week and a half or so. May the 6th, I fly down on the 3rd, and hopefully we'll pack up the trailers, and I'll look the trucks over and make sure everything's safe, and Hopefully I don't have any surprises.
Well, you know, she hasn't done any of the work on the trucks all winter. So, you know, you're lucky she put gas and oil in it, if that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she doesn't put gas since they're both diesels.
Oh, diesel, yeah. And she has to put DEF because it warns you when your truck's about to die from lack of DEF. So.
Yeah. We only have one of those trucks out of the two. So
an old one then.
Well, an 06. It was pre-DEF.
When did DEF start?
2011, 2012, depending on the models. Some earlier, but with the cars, they started before then, but the trucks, it was a little later.
So we have a GMC 2013, so that must have been one of the first ones. And let me tell you, it's a pain in the ass because it's under the hood. And it's right in the front, so you're trying to get that jug in there to turn it up. And right in the front of toward the cab. It's just a nightmare. Now that they have that, you can pump it from the outside. It's so nice.
Yeah. Well, you could go to the truck stops and just pump it right in up there, but
I'm not sure it would fit. It's just this little tiny hole, you know, with a funnel.
Yeah. I think it would, but the only problem is the automatic shut off might not shut off, and you might get sprayed in the face.
So I'm getting the jug, trying to pour it in there without spilling it all over the engine.
Yep. It's basically just ammonia. So
I was wondering what it was actually.
Yeah, it's ammonia. They call it urea. So.
Which sounds like pee. Something completely different.
Like pee.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's ammonia. That's why if you spill it on the ground, it crystallizes and whatnot.
Oh.
So.
So it doesn't do any damage to the engine if it gets on the engine.
No. If it gets on the engine, you can rinse it off with water. It's fine.
I got to tell you, we had our truck detailed about a month ago. And the guys that came out, they came out to the house and did it. It was the nice. I have never seen the engine clean since we bought the truck. And they did everything. They did the engine. I have never seen parts of that engine were in there. And I was just so amazed how well they did.
Good. Yeah. I've had Mogi get some detailers out to clean up the trucks and stuff before she leaves. And there was one bad experience. So, but usually it's good, but there's one. They used a chemical on the aluminum on our flatbed and
it pitted it.
It took some polishing to get it all shined back up. So
I want to have these guys also do horse trailers, and I want them to have to do our horse trailers sometimes.
Yeah.
That really needs it. We live now, or we don't live now. Hopefully we're going to live. We're hopefully finalizing things for the new house this week.
Okay.
But, which has been a nightmare, by the way. But it's back at Sand Road. Pretty much every Florida road that's off a main road is a sand road.
Okay.
And talk about dust and dirt. Looks like the trucks haven't been cleaned ever.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not Georgia clay.
Well, that is true. It's not red clay. You're absolutely right. It is sand. It washes off.
Yeah.
You know, actually, Aiken has a lot of those sand roads, too.
Well, yeah, or they're red clay.
That's
how I know about that.
Well, you know, when we were visiting Helena, it was a rainy week, and she lives back one of those sand red clay roads, and I didn't think we were going to make it in our two-wheel drive truck.
Yeah, they get slippery and slick. Yeah, the underside of my older truck has an orange tinge to it.
Yeah, and it's never coming off either. It's stuck there forever.
It's there forever. So,
are you excited to get a house full of people again?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it actually be fun because it's getting a bit boring and lonely. I sleep now with the bedroom door open, and I keep expecting to see silhouette in my doorway.
Yeah.
And hasn't happened. Luckily, it probably scared me to death if I didn't see one.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our first guest coming up right after this word from U.S. Rider. And as I said, his name is John Lambert. He is the fiance of Auditor Taylor DeSabatino, which is one of my favorite names to say. Yeah. And she volunteered him. So we'll find out more. But I actually don't know a lot about him. I do know that he lives in Louisville, Kentucky. So I also want to ask him, because next week's big for Louisville. I want to see if he goes to any of the exciting Kentucky Derby stuff while he's there. Yeah. And I do know that he works at a hospital. So that's all I know. Let's find out more.
Okay.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that U.S. Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
John, thanks you for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Glenn. Thanks for inviting me. I was kind of voluntold by Taylor, who is always excited to volunteer me for things. So, but it's good to talk to you guys. I feel like a little bit of a celebrity because I know she listens to your podcast every day, just about. So,
yeah, she probably knows me pretty well at this point after all these years together. I might be together with her longer than you've been, actually.
Maybe so. Yeah, it's probably pretty close. Yeah.
Some of these, John, some of these listeners have been listening to us for 14 years every day.
That's so crazy. It's so interesting, you know, like these sort of niche, very interesting podcasts. They kind of get a huge community of people. That's kind of the first thing about dating a horse girl is you have to contend with all the horse girl friends.
That's true. That is true.
Everything that goes along with that.
And they're all crazy, John. They're all like her. They're all like Taylor.
Yeah. Taylor has been riding she was insistent on telling me she's been riding for 25 years. And I was told that her mother, she used to go around with her mother and they used to try and gate crash other children's birthday parties if they had a pony. So Taylor was so enthusiastic about horses from a very early age. So she would just show up, ride the pony, maybe eat a little cake, maybe not, and then leave.
So, John, where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in a little small town in Kentucky called Mount Vernon, and it's just south of Lexington.
Yeah.
So I have.
It's a cute little town, actually.
It is. Yeah. It's a nice little town, well known for its country music and that sort of thing. So I have been close to horse country my entire life. I went to school at the University of Louisville. They had me there for 5 years for an undergraduate degree. And so I've never gotten too far away from the pretty horse farms around here.
Well, you are in Louisville. I mean, next week is Kentucky Derby. You must have participated in some of the parties and parades and stuff while you were there.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I always wanted to do the thing where you push the beds through the streets.
Yes.
I don't know if they still do that anymore. But yeah, I've done Thunder Over Louisville. I remember very vividly, I picked Funny Side as the winner of the 2004 Kentucky Derby. So, you know, even in kindergarten, the little kids, they'll get on little, I guess, hobby horses or stick horses and race. So that was kind of the first time that I was exposed to the Derby, and I've been a couple of times. So.
Oh, you have gone infield?
You've really gone. Wow, that's great.
No, so I've not gone infield before. I don't really have the nerve. But, yeah, I have been lucky enough. Now, I've not been in any of, like, the super fancy boxes, but I have been lucky enough to go to a few of the races at the boxes. And I've never been to the Oaks. I've been to Keeneland a few times. But, yeah, nothing kind of beats the Derby.
So,
for
okay,
sure.
So you're not a horse person when you went to the Derby. Was it exciting for you being there as it is for horse people?
No, definitely not. Okay. So, Glenn, I have been, before I met Taylor, I have been to the Kentucky Derby. I've been to Keeneland and Turfway. And I've also been to the Spanish Riding School in Vienna, Austria.
Really?
Wow. So, yeah. And this was all before I met Taylor or knew the first or second thing about horses. So all of that was kind of like lost on me. But yeah, so
Who drug you to the riding school?
Yeah, I don't know. We were in Vienna and I mean, it was pretty cool. I was told that it was something to go. I remember the horses were gray. And
yeah, they're kind of famous. Yeah. They're kind of famous.
You're right. Yeah. And yeah, but I had never really had much. I had ridden a couple times, but I didn't own a horse or I didn't live on a horse farm or anything until I met Taylor. And so we met on Tinder. and it's kind of great. It does a lot for my self-esteem that we met on, like, you know, the most shallow social network there is. So whenever I feel down on myself, you know. But yeah, we met on Tinder, and she was, God bless her, she was upfront that she was horse crazy from the very beginning. So
I was going to ask if she lied and said that didn't say anything about horses.
No. Yeah, you can't hide two, 1,200 pound horses too well. But it's actually, so I had ridden before, and I had told Taylor, she asked, like, hey, can you ride a horse? And I was like, oh, sure. I'm from Kentucky. I've done this, done that. So we get there, and Taylor is an English rider, very much so. She does dressage and eventing. And we get there, and I was expecting, like a Western saddle with a big horn, something to grab onto. And I get up on Essie, Taylor's, easy to ride horse. And I'm on that English saddle, just like holding on for dear life. I was getting in touch with muscles that I had no idea existed, trying to, suction cup onto that English saddle. And I think I've talked with other people, and I think that's a pretty common experience.
How about the first time you trotted? That's fun.
Let's see, was that on purpose or not?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think that I have probably trotted, intentionally, definitely at like a single digit number of times. Yeah, I don't think.
Me too.
Yeah. And I can't really tell, other than speed, which is, pretty apparent, but I can't really tell a difference between the different gates or anything like that. We have one gated horse and one Arabian horse. And, I just kind of hold on.
Does she event on the Arabian?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I was told that, let's see, she did, was it 3.5? I'm probably saying this in some sort of hilarious way, but yeah, she did lots of jumps. That's okay. How it was explained to me.
Has she dragged you to right now what's going on in Kentucky, the Rolex Land Rover Defender 3-day event?
No, we haven't been to that yet. And that's something I would be, she's not allowed to listen, right?
No.
So I would be glad to go because that does seem interesting.
Actually, yeah. You would have fun. It's the highest level, so it's quite exciting to go there.
Yeah.
Well, except for dressage. Skip the dressage days and go right to the jump.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That'll be Spanish riding school all over again for sure. Yeah.
Go right to the cross country.
Hey, John.
Oh, yeah.
John, I got to tell you, our best eventers do not look like the Spanish riding school in dressage. They do not look like that. No.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. They made it look pretty easy. No, I have been part of a hunter pace.
Oh, yeah.
I was basically the groom for a hunter pace. The winner came in 45 minutes. I think that's the time you're supposed to get. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love the horses. They're such empathetic animals, but I tend to appreciate them more at sea level. I let Taylor do all the crazy riding and stuff. And then I just kind of, brush them or give them treats or something like that. But
all right, well, let's talk a little bit about you. What do you do?
So I work at a hospital in Mount Vernon, Kentucky. It is a ventilator hospital.
What's that mean?
So that is it helps people who have difficulty breathing independently. So in
the
case
whole
of accident,
is ventilators.
Yeah. So there are 26 regular hospital beds and then 123 ventilator beds.
Wow, you guys during COVID must have been crazy. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's actually people were coming to us and wanting to take our ventilators, basically. So we had to develop protocols of, the circumstances we would lend ventilators out versus when we would decide to keep them and stuff. But yeah, it's really interesting. I get to work with, I have like, honestly, one of the most fulfilling jobs in the world. I don't know, people who work for for-profit entities and everything, whenever they have a hard day, I don't know how they make it because I always can kind of lean back on sort of the good work that we're doing. But yeah, I work at that hospital as a grant writer.
Oh, so you're trying to get grants for the hospital?
Yeah. And so far you know, we've gotten grants that have gotten us like automation equipment. The majority of our patients, they also have some sort of condition that limits their mobility. So one of the things that we do is we have, you know, voice activated televisions and voice activated this and that. And I was actually able to get a grant from Google, which is a website. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, we've had a little.
A couple times. Google it. But yeah, and I've been able to work with, there's a charity. We have a lot of ALS patients, and there is a charity in New Orleans, and they provide basically the most succinct way to describe it is kind of like the Stephen Hawking communication device that they can kind of look at a word or a letter and communicate that way. And I was able to work with a great charity in New Orleans to sort of facilitate their donation of that equipment to my facility. So yeah, it's,
I always think a lot of fun stuff. I always think about people being on ventilators. So going back to COVID, right? They're on ventilators for a certain period of time, a week or a couple days, a week, a month. I don't think about people being on ventilators forever. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. My facility is I hate to make it sound like an ad for my job.
No, go ahead. This is fascinating.
Yeah. So my facility is really good at weaning people off of the ventilator. Everyone who comes there has been told that they're going to be dependent on a ventilator for the rest of their life. And we're able to get 50% of those patients eventually off the ventilator. A lot of them go home. A lot of them, especially children, premature babies, they tend to do really, really well. They'll stay with us for 18 months to 2 years or something like that and go home and live very fulfilling lives. So people do that. And then sort of there are some conditions that will sort of always require treatment on a ventilator. One of them is spinal muscular atrophy, which is kind of like a pediatric ALS, and it's a really dreadful condition. And we actually, at our facility, it was previously considered kind of like a death sentence. We have the oldest individual with that diagnosis. So he has been there, I want to say like 30 years, and is doing just fine. He's a great guy too. So yeah, lots of people do spend a good portion of their life on a ventilator.
Wow.
And yeah. You know, it's sort of what you make of it. I've encountered people who, there was one lady, I was helping her publish books, and I like literally could not keep up with the pace of her ability to write these books. My publishing, that was sort of the critical path there. I was holding things back. And yeah, so lots of people, we had one person who ran for mayor of Mount Vernon, and another person who wrote, before his accident, he was a country music songwriter. And he spent a lot of time, he had a locked-in syndrome, and he hadn't previously sort of been evaluated for what he was able to communicate until he came to our facility, and we just kind of, as a matter of practice, always evaluate someone for their communication abilities. And they thought that he had been in a coma, but it turns out that he was actually able to communicate by blinking his eyes. And he stayed at our facility, I want to say 15 years. In that time, he was able to write songs and reconnect with his family. So yeah, it's I wasn't kidding whenever I said that I had a really fulfilling job. So
wow,
it's something I've never thought about before. I mean, that is the coolest thing. You do have a fulfilling job. How cool is that?
Yeah. And then,
so I wanted to ask, so how long have you been there?
I've been there, I think, 7 years.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you've seen a lot of people come and go. You could write a book yourself on everything you've seen. And it's kind of cool. Yeah. The author, that was her way of communicating.
Yeah. So she used I think whenever she first started, she still had some mobility in her hands, but she was able to use an eye gaze system. And the company that makes it is called Toby. They're like fascinating. They do great work. And, you know, she was just able to look at, you know, whatever letter she was wanting to do, and that's just how she did it. It was great.
So all this stuff you never know about. So tell me, do you have any hobbies?
I have a few. So right now we're prepping for a wedding, and we're also building a house.
By the way, we have till June the 1st to talk you out of this, right?
All right. Yeah. June the 1st. Yeah, I think that if you talk me out of it, you'd have to deal with my future father-in-law. I don't know if I would advise that. But
so how much is Taylor letting you do in the planning? Or are you just on the outside following orders?
I got to pick the DJ.
Oh, well, there you go.
And yeah, and I also am. I got to pick the limousine company, transportation company. So yeah, and I managed to pick the limousine without the stripper pole. So that was the That was the.
It wasn't available, was it? Yeah, was it? Yeah.
Only if it came with the dancers.
Yeah.
Only, right. if it comes with the dancers.
Yeah, the pole isn't much good by itself, actually.
Right. Yeah. I don't think anyone wants to see me up there.
You know, I'm not sure in Mount Vernon they have a limousine with a stripper pole, to be honest.
So actually, and that's the cool thing, we're going to be getting married in Louisville at the Kentucky Derby Museum.
Really?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Oh, how cool is it? You just made every woman in the audience jealous right there.
Yeah, it's a great venue. It's a great venue. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Taylor must be over the moon about it.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, there are a couple pretty good options in Lexington. There's like this modern art museum hotel that was a contender. But I think that with her connection to horses and horse racing, that Kentucky Derby Museum was the right choice.
Gotcha. Well, that's exciting. I don't know anybody who's been married there before, so that's kind of cool. Unfortunately, it's in the dumpy part of town, but other than that, it's great.
Yeah, that's what I told Taylor. And U of L is pretty close. As students, they always told us, you know, it's all right once you get to Churchill Downs, but in the intervening sections, it gets a little rough.
Rich, have you ever been to been to races there?
I've never been to Churchill Downs. I have not been to the Preakness here in Maryland.
You Kayla live in Maryland.
Yeah, Kayla did the infield the one year right before they legitimized it, because they changed it all around. Now it has beer gardens and all this stuff.
Was she there in Kegasus time?
Remember Kegasus? I guess so. I think she probably was. They had the outhouse races.
Oh, yeah.
And things and people. So I guess people run across the top of the outhouses people throw beer cans at them while they're running. and it was back when you could bring your own cooler in.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah,
and she said she watched a man just walk to the ground, basically.
Two
beers in his hand. It just kept getting lower and lower and lower until he was planted.
you know, also a track that's not in the best part of town. So,
yeah, it's the Preakness. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well and sure. all the local kids, I'm sure, were really pissed off when they made them, you know, you couldn't bring your coolers in because that's how they made their money. They'd get shopping carts and meet you and put your cooler in the shopping cart and push it down to the racetrack for you.
Gotcha. Oh, that's a good. They should have done races with those.
Yeah.
So the Boy Scouts made money pushing beer to the racetrack. That's perfect.
I don't know if they were Boy Scouts, but I don't know. I didn't go. Kayla went.
They'll also protect your car for $50.
Yeah. Kayla went with Brian before they got married.
So. Oh, wow.
That's one of their, you know, not a first date, but one of their dates.
That would be quite an introduction as a first date.
You'd
really get to know somebody at that.
Okay. So, John, there's a couple questions we ask everybody. So we're going to ask you those questions, too. I'm going to add one that I haven't asked you yet. Was there a point where you went, it really is me or the horses, I guess I'm staying with the horses. Was there a point, was it months in, a couple of weeks in, a couple of days in?
Well, I think it was when one of our horses, Essie, she got choke. She choked on an alfalfa pellet, a dry alfalfa pellet. And I was the one operating the pump to get the water in to irrigate the nasal canal, you know, and there was blood everywhere. I think that's whenever I realized that I'd really gotten myself into something.
Yeah, the first time they bleed everywhere is really an eye opener.
Yeah. Luckily, I've been stepped on once, never kicked, but you know, never say never.
Yeah, that's coming.
That might be why the wedding's still on.
Yeah.
All right. So some other questions. What is the chore that you hate the most with the horses?
Hate the most. You know, I used to really hate, you know, cleaning the stalls, obviously. But then I discovered that you can just kind of, if you get in the right mindset, you can kind of zone out and it makes it a lot easier. You know, just imagine it's anything but that.
That's true. That is so true. Rich, you want to jump in with the next one?
Okay. What's the one thing you refuse to help with in the barn?
Let's see. So we have all mares, so that eliminates one particular task.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. We know that one.
But let's see, you know, breaking the cold ice, we got some sort of automatic waterer. But that first year when we were loading Taylor's car up, her car should have, you know, agricultural vehicle tags at this point, her little sedan. But we were loading that up with supplies and taking it in breaking the ice in the water. And that was tough. That was tough.
Yeah. Does she put hay?
I think I would refuse to do that again.
Does she haul hay in the car?
Oh, well, yeah, we had some plants. We're doing a garden and she was worried that some of the plants, you know, might get out if she took it. And I said, you know, those plants would thrive with as much dirt in the floorboards as you have. So my corn would be just fine.
Now, do you cook? Are you the cook?
I do a fair bit of cooking because Taylor's Italian. She is like a natural pasta and pasta sauce maker.
Yeah.
And meatballs, definitely. Yeah. So anything with red sauce, she's the champion. I do the steaks. So yeah, we have a pretty stereotypical breakdown there as far as that goes.
Gotcha. And then Rich is going to ask you one of our favorite questions.
What is your pickup brand of choice?
I am like, you know, it's kind of funny because if I didn't know Taylor, I would probably be living in, you know, the middle of Brooklyn and going to coffee shops and book signings and stuff. So, but pickup truck of choice. I mean, I gotta appreciate the resiliency of a Ford Ranger. I've seen Ford Rangers in all kinds of conditions.
I have a Ford Ranger. Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
They're small but mighty.
Yeah, a little small
but mighty. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
A little small for me, but yeah, you're okay.
Yeah.
I'll settle.
You know
for
what's
that.
Been you know, nice
and
about it though
is the 450 might be nice. But
the gas mileage is much better than our big GMC. That's
yeah,
and you can haul stuff in it. I mean, the bed's small, but you can haul stuff in it. It really is handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What advice would you give someone considering a relationship with a horse person?
You know, I've always really been impressed with how empathetic horses are and how they pick up on sort of their owner's cues. So if at some day, you know, if the horse seems angry, then she's probably angry too.
The horse probably got it from her.
I've never heard that one before.
So look at the horse's mood and you'll see what you're in for that night.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Kind of a leading indicator. Yeah. And it goes both ways too. So
that is a first. Well, John, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on your nationals coming up. You know, I usually try harder to talk you out of it, but with you're getting married at the Kentucky Derby Museum, I can't really.
I know. Yeah, it would be a pretty great event. Yeah.
That is kind of cool. Now I know why her dad would be really mad if this wedding was called off, because this isn't a cheap one. So good on you, Dad.
I'm for sure. Yeah. Congratulations
to you and Taylor.
Yep. Thanks so much, guys. And thanks so much for the opportunity.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbine to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
Hi, yes, and our next guest up is Adam Lee, introduced to myself by a friend of my wife's. Adam is husband of Sue Bauer Lee, and they live in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Adam. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You were introduced to me by a friend of my wife's, Wisty. Yeah, and you live in Atlanta, Georgia, and your wife boards with Wisty at the Chat Hills Stables,
right.
Correct?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And your wife, she's a dressage rider, correct?
Yes, she is.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about how you and Sue met. Oh, your wife's name is Sue Bauer Lee.
Right. Before horses or after?
Well, you can start before horses and just let us know how you met and how she got you into horses.
Sue and I are amateur radio operators as well as being in the IT field. And we were members of a club in North Atlanta at the time. And I had no clue who she was at all. And there were other ham radio operators that knew her. They were trying to get us together. And actually they weren't successful. It wasn't until I decided to give directions to a Sunday morning breakfast in Roswell. And I was giving directions and she happened to be on the radio and I gave her directions to the restaurant where we were having the breakfast. And after that breakfast was supposed to be emergency communications. What did they call it? It's like a exercise where you simulate an emergency and, you know, you do radio communications for during an emergency. And that's how we met. When I wasn't going to go there originally, and along the way, while talking to her, I decided, well, maybe I should just go anyway. And turns out that the last seat in the room happened to be next to her. So we started chatting about our interest in amateur radio and also finding out that we both worked in IT. And it just morphed from there, and we ended up getting married.
I never met a female amateur operator before, ham radio person.
Yeah, I haven't either. My father was a ham radio operator, and so was my grandfather.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. K6TVU, that was my dad's letters. So,
What's yours, Adam?
It's Kilo Echo 4 Echo November Hotel. That's KE4ENH.
Okay.
How popular is that today? I imagine it's waning.
Not really. It is waning to some degree because the younger generation tends to look at their cell phones and say, well, I can just call them.
Right. Is it still ultimately meant for emergencies, for being that last line of communication?
No, not really. It's also a personal enrichment type of service, I guess you want to put it in that sense. A lot of times, people who are technically inclined end up getting into it. And, you know, there are other occupations that get into it. We have doctors, we have lawyers, we have public safety people. They're from all walks of life. They tend to just gravitate toward, okay, you know, we want to be able to have communications in a different form, and they get interested, and then they find out that there are a lot of other things that they can do. One of the things that my wife and I were interested in at the time, and what we would do, like one of the events in the Atlanta area was the MS-150 or multiple sclerosis. And the MS-150 was a bike race, and what we would do is provide communications for the Multiple Sclerosis Society while they were conducting the race. We would be in various points throughout the race course providing communications.
So up until that point, though, you didn't know that Sue had any horse interests or anything. You guys got married and you still didn't really know about the horse interests.
I had no clue. So one day, I can't remember the exact date or when that happened, but she started to talk about the pictures on the wall that we had, she had in her house. I noticed that she had a whole bunch of dog pictures, and she really liked one picture over the mantle of her fireplace at that time. And it was a picture of some field spaniels. So she ended up telling me how she actually showed dogs for a while. And so she showed Springer spaniels in the AKC. And she told me that that was her way of actually having to keep her busy and not to think about the horse as much, I guess. Her parents actually got her started into that because they couldn't afford the horse anymore, I guess, or something happened. And she lost the ability to ride the horse that she loved. So
eventually did get into a situation where she could get back into horses.
We ended up moving to Illinois for her job. She got a new job and we went over there and moved into a house and a subdivision. And we noticed, well, in our everyday routine, driving by down the road, there was a horse farm, a boarding stable. And I ended up looking it up on Google and found some information about it and noticed that they had lessons. They gave lessons there. And I told her, hey, you know, I know that you've told me that, you know, you had a horse when you were a kid and you used to ride and you really loved doing that. And, you know, we're kind of settled now. You know, do you feel like maybe wanting to take a few lessons and see if you like it and maybe just ride over there? I did not know that those rides were going to morph into leasing a horse. And then later on, it turned out that we ended up buying a horse.
It's all over then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she dragged me into the arena and she said, what do you think? And I'm looking at a horse being lunged, and it was a gray Tricaner mare, and her name was Jem. And when she ran around, the horse is looking straight at me while she's running around. And I was like, okay, you know, so what's a horse? And she goes, well, I want to buy her.
Oh, she started out with a Tricaner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, they're starting at the top.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's not just get a little pony to start, right? We're going to start out with a Tricaner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we laugh about it because the first thing I told her, I said, well, we don't have a trailer, because I was thinking, I'm being the practical kind of person, I was thinking, you know, you want to take the horse somewhere, you got to have a trailer. Or if you need to move it somewhere, you're going to have a trailer. And we didn't have a trailer. So, and she looked at me and said, I can't believe you said that. I was like, well, sooner or later, you got to move this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, so did you have a truck?
Yeah, exactly.
No. We had a Ford Expedition, and it had a receiver for tow hitch. And we ended up having a trailer eventually, and yes, we ended up using the Expedition.
All of a sudden, the horse got a lot more expensive. A lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I was sitting there going, oh, you know, pulling this trailer is not like pulling an RV. So,
nope. And they're very picky about how you drive their horses around. They really are.
Yeah.
When we're hauling the horses, Jennifer does the driving. I've driven the horses before, but she prefers that I don't. She prefers that she drive the horses. I don't know how your wife is, but mine is like, oh, nope, yeah, I'm driving. Does she let you drive the horses, Sue?
Yeah, I do all the driving anyway.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's unusual.
So it was a learning experience. You know, driving an RV is simple compared to hauling a horse.
Yeah, it follows you.
You don't worry. You know things are going to move around a little bit, but in an RV, and things might just kind of fall out of a cabinet or something like that, or shift. But
yeah, you can make those turns much faster, can't you, Adam?
Right.
Rich, does she let you drive the horses, or does she drive the horses?
Mogi? Yeah. Oh, I drive the horses all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I used to haul them across the country for her.
Yeah, you're a horse guy, though. So
yeah, it wasn't fair. I hauled my first horse when I was 17. So, and that was a long time ago.
I remember the first time I hauled our gem in a small two-horse steel trailer, and she's screaming at me like, "Come on, we have a horse back there. It's not, you got to drive slower and you got to brake smoother and everything." Yeah. I'm sitting there going, "Okay."
You drive three or four cars ahead, and the corners are slower than you could ever think of doing. And I used to have horses that scrambled. And so when they scramble, you really learn to take corners slowly.
I was hauling a two horse the one day. Actually, Jennifer wasn't along. It was two of us horse husbands taking the horses back. I don't know why they weren't along, but we were taking the horses back, and we were on the highway, and sure enough, it started fishtailing on me. And I don't know why. I don't remember why it did, but it was going. And I thought I was going to lose the whole thing. And then they tell you what you should do is accelerate out of it. And that's what I did. By the way, when your horse trailer's fishtailing, you're panicking, and the horses are back there. The last thing you want to do is press the gas pedal. But I did, and because I'd driven in snow enough, and that's a snow and ice, and that's also what you do, and I managed to get us out of it. I still don't remember why it happened, and it never happened again, but that was one of the scariest times I've ever had driving a horse trailer. Just was terrifying, because I didn't want to be the one to kill the horses, you know? It's like, that's never good.
Yeah. So, you've... Also, I heard a little story about that you even cleaned tack.
What?
Uh-oh.
You're setting a bad example for the rest of us. What's wrong with you, Adam?
Well, I got to one of those deals. It's like, okay, I could wait for her to get finished, or I could help her get finished so that we could go home.
Go home and eat.
Yeah.
Right. Or do something other than being at the barn.
Yeah. So.
But, the thing about it was that I felt that, okay, we got a horse now, and for all intents and purposes, I should learn at least what to do with things. And along the way, while cleaning tack isn't the most glamorous job, I have to admit that, it's not as bad as mucking a bunch of stalls.
Mucking stalls isn't much fun. So, but you groom the horse, and Wist even tells me you come out and walk the horse when Sue can't make it out to the barn.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of morphed into that somehow. Being somewhat pretty much retired, I have a little bit more time on my hands than probably, the guys at work. So when needed, I'll go out and I'll just hand walk the horse for like half an hour. And then I go run off and do my other errands that I need to do.
Okay.
So it's not so bad. Our horse is so good that, and I love her too, as much as one can. And I just don't ride her.
Okay.
I also heard you're the cook.
Most of the time I am.
Is that something you enjoyed doing all along, or were you forced into it and then you had to figure it out?
I kind of knew how to cook a little bit before I met her. Growing up, my mom loved me to watch her cook, and sometimes I would make some stuff and help her in the kitchen. So I kind of knew a little bit.
What kind of food did you grow up eating? Was your mom making?
Well, my mom made lots of Chinese food because, the family is Chinese. So, but we also lived in Savannah, Georgia. So that area, we also had a little family grocery store, and it was in part of the Black community. And so we sold things that the Black community loved to eat. So we actually ended up learning how to eat some of their dishes, like what they call soul food.
Yeah.
And
some collard greens and things.
Yeah. And, you know, so the good thing about it was that I was never hungry. It was always something different to eat. And so, you know, I'm not much of a picky eater, as Sue would say. And I'm pretty game about trying other ethnic foods too.
But do you find yourself gravitating toward Chinese or Southern or what? Or are you making fried chicken, fried rice or what?
Pretty much Asian food is up for grabs.
Yeah.
You know, I like my stir fries, so I guess I can't say anything about that. But, you know, I've actually cooked Indian food, Vietnamese food, a little bit of Thai. Sue doesn't like Thai that much, but, you know.
What makes Thai different than Chinese?
The ingredients and the preparation.
Is it spicier?
To me, it's not spicier. They do have some that is spicier, but I don't gravitate toward those because I just don't like it as much. I did when I was younger, but the spicy stuff starts to tear up your stomach after a while. So yeah, that's not a pretty sight either.
Yeah. That's my problem. I like spicy foods. At my age, it's not going so well anymore. I grew up with a Mexican family in California. So there's a lot of jalapenos and a lot of peppers in everything. So,
oh, I love Mexican food too.
Yeah. The Garza family was my second family.
I keep threatening Adam that I'm going to start a YouTube show for horse husbands that cook. And one of these days I'm going to get that done. I'm definitely going to get that.
Well, that ought to be interesting.
You're coming on to be our Chinese correspondent, okay? You're going to make our Chinese food.
So did the need to start cooking, did that come from Sue being at the barn so late that if you wanted to eat at a legitimate time that you started cooking?
No, it just happened, I guess. You know, I don't really remember exactly how that all came about, but it got to the point where I would be quick to put something together, and you know, sometimes she'll look up the recipe and just hand it to me and say, "What do you think?" Yeah. And I'll sit there and read it, and I'll say, "Okay, well, let's try it." And
there
I'll get everything together and put it out on the table.
How long you guys?
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's true of all of us. How long you been married? She's not allowed to listen to this, so if you screw it up, it's okay.
25.
25?
You know, I should know this. It's over 25. I know that much.
Okay.
I just never keep it on top of my head because it's...
We remember because we have a plate that somebody got us that the date's etched in there of our wedding day. That's how we remember. We look at the plate. So,
29 years.
29, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I just did the math.
You know, between the three of us, we're at almost 100 years.
Century Club.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, we have some questions that we ask everybody. Okay. We're going to ask you those questions. What is the chore that you hate the most with the horses? I'm assuming it's cleaning stalls from what you said.
Yeah, that's the only one that's not exactly pleasant. Actually, I'm getting kind of used to it now.
Isn't but the, it funny? The that's dust, what, that's what our other
the
guests
dust
said.
And everything else is what kills me.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I don't like it is because
it is relaxing, you know, though, once you get in the zone.
That's true. And nobody bothers you while you're doing it.
Well, that's true. That's what our first guest said.
Yeah. They don't want
I don't know what it is. It must be the cloud of dust or either that the smell. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, they're just happy you're doing it and they don't want any part of it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Then what is the one thing that you refuse to help with in the barn?
I haven't come across that yet.
Oh, wow.
You sheath clean and everything?
No, I've never done that, so I don't know if I'd want to do that.
They have a mare.
Oh, okay, well, that's good.
We've only had mares, so I haven't had the pleasure of doing that. I have witnessed a young girl at the barn doing it once with the help of one of the vets, and I was like, okay.
It does make us guys a little squirmy when they're doing that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad they're getting cleaned, but what is your pickup choice? What is your pickup brand of choice?
Ford Super Duty.
Yeah, there you go. Dually?
No, I got single wheel.
Yeah, it's a full
We graduated from the Expedition to a 2017 Super Duty.
Diesel, I assume?
Nope, I actually have a 6.2 gas engine in it. I wanted a diesel at first, but at the time, all the emissions for diesel was still so new that I didn't trust it yet. And I had done some research on it and found that the fuel mileage wasn't much better than the gas.
Rich, wasn't this the years too that Ford was having trouble with the diesel trucks?
Yeah, they had quite a few years where they had some problems with things and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Especially with the additive, the DEF additive. DEF. And stuff at first.
I thought they had trouble in the beginning there. Some of the others figured it out before they did.
Yeah. There's the, what is it? The 6.3. The best engine they had was the 7.3. And which is what I had at 95, but there was no emissions.
Yeah,
on
that was pre-def.
Yeah.
That's what they sounded like trucks too.
Yeah, it had a converter on it, but that kind of got that disappeared off of mine. But,
that's when the trucks sounded like trucks.
Yeah.
You could hear them coming three blocks away.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, mine's pretty quiet, so I can't say anything.
Yeah,
there you go.
What advice would you give someone considering a relationship with a horse person?
That's a toughie. The best advice I can give is learn to love that horse.
Good advice. Well, that was fun. It was fun, always fun to talk to horse husbands. You know, I got to meet quite a few at Equine Affair last week. Some of the horse husbands were along. Some have actually listened to the show and enjoy it. A couple of them came out to dinner with us when we had our listener meetup. So it's always fun to meet them and get to chat with the guys. And so thanks, Rich. I enjoyed doing this show and making sure that we give some love to the other side of the coin. And you, where can people find you? Where do they go to find you, your wife, your farm?
Basically, Mogi's on Facebook, Fox Hill Venting. We don't have a website anymore, but
Fox Hill Venting.
Fox Hill Venting
on Facebook. And is she going to Rolex next week or this week?
No, she's not. She's getting ready for a show at Stable View in Aiken.
Okay.
Where she's going to be, you know, she's the main course designer there this weekend up through the advanced level.
Oh, wow.
So
the ones that aren't going to Kentucky are going there.
Correct. Yeah. And these are mainly people that they're just looking at moving up. A week, a little over a week ago was their big spring show, which was the one to prepare for Kentucky.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. We appreciate it. Of course, Horse Husbands is here the fourth Thursday of every month. If you want to hear the past episodes, you can just search for Horse Husbands on your favorite podcast player. We have a separate feed now, so all of our episodes are all by themselves. Or you can just go to horseradionetwork.com and you can find the past Horse Husbands episodes. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Rich.
You're welcome, Glenn, and good morning.